Pretty Choose God, addressed to Pope Francis, to the students of the Jesuit schools. I would like, first of all, to tell you something that has to do with St. Ignatius of Loyola, our founder. The autumn of 1537, on his way to Rome, the group of his first companions, he wondered, if people ask us who we are, how should we answer? The answer came spontaneously. We will say that we are the Society of Jesus. Put below that, Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. Okay? Write down the Jesuits. Society of Jesus or the Jesuits. The whole purpose of this class this afternoon is to see how we can establish a deep friendship with Christ, which is really the most important thing in the world. How we can grow in friendship with Jesus Christ. And this is a talk that Pope Francis gave about 3 years ago, a little bit more. Okay, this demanding name intends to suggest a relationship of very close friendship. And of total affection for Jesus, in whose footsteps they wanted to follow. Why have I told you about this event? Because Saint Ignatius and his companions had realized that Jesus was teaching them how to live well. How to live a life that had profound meaning, that imparted enthusiasm, joy and hope. They had understood that Jesus is a great teacher of life and a model of life. And he was not only teaching them, but also inviting them to follow on this path. Right next to path, I want you to write a short phrase. Jesus, my best friend. Jesus, my best friend. So we really want to strive for this year. Jesus, my best friend. Let me just launch this question out at you. All of you have friends. What would be three qualities of cultivating a good friendship with someone? All of you have friends, I'm sure. Three qualities of cultivating a good friendship.
Communication.
What?
Communication.
Good. Communication means there's going to be frequent conversation with that person. Very good. Yes.
Trust.
Trust. Great. If you can't trust a friend, you really don't have a friend. Yes.
Honesty.
Great. Were you going to say, Braden, honesty? Good. Good. Anything more?
Respect.
Respect.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Support.
Support. All of you, I give A+. Very good. So what we want to do, we want to try to apply this now to our friendship with Jesus Christ. Communication, honesty, trust. We all know from experience that our best friends sometimes will fail us, and we sometimes fail our best friend. Remember when I arrived in Argentina, my Italian was almost perfect, my English was pretty good, but I didn't know anything. I didn't know Spanish at all back 30 years ago. I remember seeing a picture of the Sacred Heart, and below it said, Jesus el amigo que nunca falla. Translation? Perfect. He never fails us. We sometimes fail him, but he'll never fail us. So whenever we want to go to Jesus, he's always there ready to enter into friendship with us, anytime. Anytime. Okay, let's flip the coin now, and what might be things or attitudes that could damage true friendship? We talked about what are signs of having a good friend or cultivating a good friend. What would be elements that could actually damage or jeopardize our friendship? Ashley?
Lies.
And that's the exact opposite of confidence, right? Melody? Good. Talking back, maybe talking behind the back.
Arguing.
Yeah. And you're, instead of being trusting, you're not trusting and you're fighting with the person. That's a good way to end it, huh? You're always arguing, huh? Good. Okay, let's move on to the next paragraph. Dear young people, if I were to ask you now, why do you go to school? What would you answer me? There'd probably be a whole range of replies according to the sensibility of each person. And I think that they could all be summed up together by saying that school is one of the educational environments which we develop through learning, to learning how to live, how to become grown up, mature men and women who can travel, who can follow the road of life. How does school help you to grow? It helps you not only by developing your intelligence, but also by an integral formation of your personality. So write down below personality, education helps me to mature in all aspects. Education helps me to mature in all aspects. Human, moral, emotional, spiritual, all those different aspects are maturing with a good education. Okay, and I'll learn now a couple of big words that are pretty important. Let's look at the word on in the margin, and the word is magnanimity. Can you pronounce that? Magnanimity. Say it again. Magnanimity. Say it again. Okay, it's a compound Greek word. Magna. Magna means great. Anima. Magna. Anima. And that means soul. Means a person with a great soul. Concrete English, a person that's generous. He's generous with God, he's generous with others, he's generous with himself. The opposite would be a person that's selfish, that caves in on himself. He said magnanimity means having a great heart, having greatness of mind. Means having great ideals, the wish to do great things, to respond to what God asks of us. Okay, so in following what Saint Ignatius teaches us, the main element at school is to learn to be, how do we pronounce that one? What? It's hard. This is the way it's said, is magnanimous. Magnanimous, okay? Let's hear you.
Magnanimous.
Okay, magnanimous. Jesus, do you know the opposite of magnanimity? The opposite. Pusillanimity. Did you know that? Okay. So magnanimity, the opposite would be pusillanimity. That means a person that's selfish. He doesn't want to give anything. Hold on everything for himself. This virtue of the great and the small. Anyone know whose feast day we celebrate today? It's the feast day of a great saint. Didn't go to school today, did you? No? A lot of you didn't go to school. It's Veterans Day, but who would be the saint that we celebrate today? Right, Saint Martin. Now, he was a magnanimous person because he was a Roman soldier many years ago. And he was in his horse late at night in the winter, very cold. He had his military cape on, he had a sword. And he looked down and he saw that there was a half-naked man that was basically dying of hunger. And he was shivering. And what Martin did was he looked down and saw that poor man and he took his sword and he cut his Roman military cape in two pieces. Then he gave half of it to the poor man and he kept the other half to himself. Now at this point, Martin was not a Christian. But that very night, he had a dream and he saw someone was wearing that cloak and it was Jesus. It was Jesus. So from that moment on, he changed his life, and he went on to become a Catholic, then he went on to become a priest, he went on to become a bishop, and he was very famous for helping people, especially the poor. So every time we celebrate Veterans Day, we're really celebrating St. Martin, who was a very famous soldier, St. Martin. Okay. So this virtue of the great and the small, which always makes us look at the horizon. You know, what the horizon means? Like the sky's outline? What does being magnanimous mean? It means having a great heart, having greatness of mind. It means having great ideals, the wish to do great things, to respond to what God asks of us. Hence, also, for this very reason, to do well the routine things of every day and all the daily actions, tasks, meetings with people, doing the little everyday things with a great heart, great heart, open to God and to others. Put down at the bottom of that page, Matthew 25. And right next to that, corporal works of mercy. Do any of you know the corporal works of mercy? Did any of you learn the corporal works of mercy? I was hungry and you gave me to. Thirsty, you gave me to. Foreigner, and you sheltered me. Naked, and you. Sick, and you. In prison, and you came to. Whatsoever you do to least my brothers, that you do to me. So open to God and open to others. Open to God and open to others. It is therefore important to cultivate human formation with a view to magnanimity. School does not only broaden your intellectual dimension, but also your human one. And I think that Jesuit schools take special care to develop human virtues. Loyalty. Which means faithfulness. Respect. Seeing in the other person. Creating the image and likeness of God. Faithfulness. And dedication. I would like to reflect on two fundamental values. Freedom and service. Freedom and service. Look at the margin there. Pretty good summary of what freedom is. Freedom. Let us be free for goodness. Free for goodness. And in this, do not be afraid to go against the tide. What does that mean, to go against the tide? That's a good colloquial expression.
To go against what everybody else is doing, so like, kind of be different.
You going to say the same thing? Good. So maybe everyone else is doing something wrong. You're willing to do something different. It's also called being countercultural. Okay? Sometimes it's also said swimming against the current. Being willing to even suffer for the sake of Christ. So freedom, let us be free for goodness. And this, do not be afraid to go against the tide, even if it is not easy. Always being free to choose goodness is demanding, but it will make you into people with a backbone who can face life, people, with courage and patience. Okay, so let's go back to the text. I'd like to reflect on two fundamental values, freedom and service. First of all, be free people. What do I mean? Perhaps it is thought that freedom means doing everything one likes or seeing how far one can go by trying drunkenness and overcoming boredom. What would be the opposite of freedom?
Slavery.
Are there modern types of slavery? Back in the time of Abraham Lincoln, there was slavery, right? With the Emancipation Proclamation, he actually freed the slaves. Is there a modern type of slavery? And Jesus basically says this is slavery, sin. How about a person that's, people that have addictions? And there are many modern addictions, there's a lot out there, aren't there? Sabrina, can you man a modern addiction? How about right behind us? It's only maybe half a block away. On Carson Avenue, there's a big place there. I don't know if you've ever noticed it there. Two most famous places in Hawaiian Gardens are St. Peter Chanel and one other place.
The McDonald's or the casino?
Well, McDonald's is pretty famous, no? But casino is a, people are really addicted to gambling. As well as horses. That's a type of modern slavery. How about someone that goes to una cantina tonight, which would be a, how do you translate cantina, like a bar, and a person gets drunk, is that freedom? Slavery, isn't it? Another type of slavery or addiction? Electronics. I just finished a class a few minutes ago with the mothers of the First Communion, and I said very often it happens today that husbands spend more time with their phone than with their wife. Could that be true? Spend much more time on their cell phone, with the internet there, than maybe spend 5 minutes talking with their wife and 5 hours talking on their phone. That's a type of an addiction, too. How about sports? Really, nothing wrong with sports, right? But you think about this. Did any of you watch the World Series when the Cubs beat the Indians? Did you watch any of it?
No.
I watched a little bit, no? But you know how many games the Cubs played before they arrived at the World Series? In the regular season, 162 games. In the playoffs, they had to beat one team and then another team. So how many hours would that be watching 162 games and then the playoffs? Each game was about 3 hours. You know, you're probably close to, who knows, 500 to 550 hours of watching TV, of sports, no? It's a lot, isn't it? The problem here in this country is like in Mexico is basically football, right? It's soccer, right? Well, in the United States, you've got so many different sports. So you finish baseball, then we move into football. Finish football, then you move on to basketball. Basketball, then you move on to tennis, right? So around the clock, you can always be watching. Now, watching sports can be okay, but you can become addicted to it, right? Too much. So anything too much is not good. Okay, so drunkenness overcoming boredom. This is not freedom. Freedom means being able to think about what we do. Being able to assess what is good and what is bad. These are the types of conduct that lead to development. It means always opting for the good. Let us be free for goodness. Let's try to be good people. Let us be free for goodness. And in this, do not be afraid to go against the tide. Even if it is not easy, always being free to choose goodness is demanding, but it will make you into people with a backbone. With a backbone, who can face life, people, with courage and patience. Write down below patience this Jesus carrying the cross. Jesus carrying the cross. A really good example of patience, Jesus carrying the cross. Okay, in the margin, service. Be men and women with others and for others, true champions at the service of others. The second word is service. In your schools, you take part in various activities that accustom you to not retreating into yourselves. Or into your own small world, but rather to being open to others, especially the poorest and the neediest. Did you mention, name any saint that comes to your mind that was willing to help out the poor people? Come to your mind? Give you a hint. One lived 800 years ago, another one died in 1997, was canonized a saint just a short time ago. Saint Mother Teresa. Who was the saint that lived about 800 years ago and was like a... Saint Francis of Assisi. There's a story that Saint Francis, probably know it, he came from a very wealthy family. His father sold wealthy garments. And on one occasion he was on his horse, dressed in his fine apparel, and he saw on the street a leper. Do you know what a leper is? What's a leper? Sick person, what type of sickness does a leper have? It's, you know, it's kind of a...
Contagious.
Contagious what?
Leprosy.
Leprosy, it's basically a skin disease. And it starts to eat away the extremities of the body, your nose, and then your lips, and then your ears, and then your toes, and your feet. That would be partial leprosy. Full leprosy is basically you're rotting alive. But if you saw a leper in the time of St. Francis, it kind of looked like a monster. You see a monster movie? Oh, someone that maybe has one eye and just doesn't have any teeth. He's lost his hair, lost a couple of his fingers. And it was also highly contagious, so that if a leper touched you, there's a good possibility that you would actually contract leprosy too. So in the time of Jesus, they would be living in what are called leper colonies, which would be outside the city, and anyone drew close, he'd have to cry out, no, leper, impure, impure, so people would not get close. So St. Francis saw this leper, and he tried to avoid him. And his conscience really bothered him. And he went back, and he took off his fine garments, gave it to the leper, and then he put the leper's rags on him. And from that moment on, God started to give St. Francis so many graces, because God saw how much St. Francis was willing to sacrifice himself for the poorest of the poor in society. And he went on to form the biggest religious congregation in the world called the Franciscans. Probably some of you know that St. Francis was once praying in front of a crucifix, and came out of the crucifix these lights. And he looked at his hands, and there were wounds in his hands, and that's called the stigmata. He was one of the first stigmatics, and maybe he saw Padre Pio, who had the stigmata for 50 years. St. Francis did not have the stigmata for 50 years. Know why? Because he died at 46. Okay? But Padre Pio had it for 50 long years. But the point is that these saints were willing to help out the poor. Help out the poor. Okay. They accustom you to working. They accustom you to work hard, rather working. Work hard to improve the world in which we live. Be men and women with others, being men and women with others, and for others. True champions at the service, of others. Okay, right below that, a short phrase of St. Paul. I want you to write down this. More joy in giving and in receiving. more joy in giving than in receiving. We all have that experience that we wanted something, we gave it away, it hurt at first, but after we experienced a lot of peace in our soul. Right? It's hard to give it up. Maybe you had two of something, and you know you gave it to Andrea, or maybe you gave it to your little brother, and after you feel good. But then when you cling to it yourself, maybe you have a little bit of pleasure. Say you got two Milky Way bars, no? You gobble them down. Oh, that was pretty good. You see your little sister, poor little girl, doesn't have that Milky Way bar, no? So it's hard at first, but once you give, you experience that inner joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's worthy of memory. Let's say it. More. Say it again. And that's what comes from, it's St. Paul that actually wrote that, one of his letters. More joy in giving than receiving. Okay, next. In order to be, what's that word? You got it, yeah. You already got your pronunciation, a college word, okay? In order to be magnanimous with inner freedom and a spirit of service, spiritual formation is necessary. Dear young people, love Jesus Christ more and more. Love Jesus Christ more and more. That's the purpose of our life, to really get to love Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of this year. Our life is a response to His call, and you will be happy. And will build your life well if you can answer this call. Maybe we've talked about this earlier, but I think it's worth asking the question again. It's a simple question. Does everybody in the world want to be happy? What do you think? Or you think there's some people get up in the morning and say, well, today I think I'd like to be sad. I think that person's probably got psychological problems, right? I think everyone in the world wants to be happy. The next question is this. If everyone wants to be happy, why do you have so many people that are sad? There's an epidemic of girls, cutting their wrists. It's becoming a real epidemic over the past 10 years. That's a sign of sadness, I think. 20% of the people in this country take pills for depression. I think it's 1 out of 5, I think, what I've heard. Other people take pills to cope with depression. Why? If everyone wants to be happy. The response is this, is that they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. Looking for happiness in the wrong place. Only find happiness in your relationship with God. So happiness comes from God. Any literature majors here? Any of you know what would be the most famous convert in the world after, outside the Bible? I'm listening to a scholarly presentation in my room now. Probably the most famous writer in the world outside the Bible. Any of you ever hear? Shakespeare, that's a pretty good response, but he's a This person's probably the more famous than Shakespeare, and he's actually a saint. It begins with an A. Good. St. Augustine, as you usually pronounce. Oh, St. Augustine. He was living a life where he was just pursuing a lot of pleasure for 31 years, and then finally he discovered Jesus Christ and he became a Catholic. But for many, many years he's looking for his happiness in sin. And the more he pursued sin, the sadder he was. And they finally found Christ, and then he was truly happy. Went on to write some of the best works in the world. His class is called The Confessions of St. Augustine. Okay? And the City of God, and De Trinitate. So many wonderful works. May you feel the Lord's presence. And you'll feel the Lord's presence in your life. He is close to each one of you as a companion and as a friend. As a companion, as a friend. Who knows how to help and understand you. Who encourages you in difficult times. And never abandons you. El amigo que nunca falla. Right? El amigo que nunca falla. What would be conversation with him? What would be a definition of conversation with God? What would that word be?
Prayer.
Good. Very good. In prayer and conversation with him, and in reading the Bible, you'll discover that he is truly close. You'll also learn to read God's signs in your life. He always speaks to us also through the events of our time and in our daily life. It is up to us to listen to him. Right next to him, write this short biblical phrase. Write this. Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening. So right now, we're going to ask the Blessed Mother, who had a very, very deep relationship with Christ, ask Mary to help us to have a deep and growing friendship with Jesus Christ. So we'll go back, open up our textbook, where we have our consecration Mary. We'll say one Hail Mary and our consecration to Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death, amen. Act of consecration of Mary together. My Queen and my Mother, give myself entirely to you. Show my devotion to you. Consecrate to you this day My eyes, my ears, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good mother, since I'm your own, keep me, guard me as your property and possession. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. See you Mass on Sunday. Okay, thank you.